back with episode 733 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, always happy to be back from our little family reunions.
And I am definitely happy to be back from all of the running around from the last month or so, although there was a particular highlight that I guess I should give a little bit of an exception to. But yeah, as far as this is concerned, this is our first show back from Dragon Con, and we are going to be getting into all kinds of little details of what it is that we did while we were there. And unfortunately, we could not be joined by Gary this week, although he was on the big quote-unquote super show that we did while we were in Atlanta with Bobby and Rob and Brad, and so we should be able to at least have his perspective from that show. So I don't know if we're going to have that available to run on our particular podcast feed, but I will let everybody know if when the time comes, because, well, I won't need to let you know. You'll hear it. So there we are. Before we get into any of the details, it's possible that we'll get into the news a little bit later in this episode, but any kind of disclaimer for the news that we need to give? I guess maybe we can just let that wait.
Yes, I think so. I don't think there is actually much spoilery we're necessarily going to reveal from Dragon Con. All that is as ever will come later.
That's right, that's right. Okay, that being the case, then I guess we might as well just jump right into it. And let's see, I'm trying to remember all the details as best I can. There's a lot of reasons why a few things are a little bit fuzzy. As many people probably know just by following either the show or other events, right after we recorded last time, I left for vacation with my family to Myrtle Beach, and I was there until literally the day before Dragon Con. So I flew back here, quickly packed up three suitcases worth of some regular clothes and work clothes, and then lots and lots of cosplay. And then flew out the 1st of September, that would have been Thursday, and arrived on time for the festivities to begin. Now, one of the things that I found really interesting, and I think that Gary would probably agree with me on this, is that the events, or at least the social events for Dragon Con, easily picked up way before they did in previous years. They probably started on Wednesday, as we saw on Facebook, and then by the time that Thursday rolled around, it was a hop-in Friday night type of atmosphere. So one of the things that we said all weekend long was that all of the usual expectations for crowds and for partying and so forth shifted pretty much by one day. So, you know, your usual pretty casual early bird crowd that used to show up on Thursdays showed up on Wednesdays, it seemed. And so Thursday was definitely a lot more active. Just kind of wandered around, looked at the crowds, hung out with Gary as he was meeting with some of his friends that are part of the Scott Sigler fandom. So that was pretty nice. But for the most part, we were kind of people watching, and unfortunately, that was a slightly earlier night for me, I think around midnight. But it was fun. I went around as Karu Nagisa from Evangelion. And if people did, in fact, recognize that character. Gary thought that I made him up, that it was like an OC for that I came up with. And
silly Gary.
Enough,
yes,
I know, Gary. Come on. But the funny part was that we go into an elevator after the Scott Sigler thing, and this guy looks up and just goes, "Karu?" And he pulls out his phone, and he's got an Ava phone case.
Of
and
course.
At this point, Gary's just looking at me like, "Oh, you weren't kidding. Okay." So that was kind of a nice touch.
Yes, but I just wanted to break in just to announce that, yes, folks, we have reached the point where one of our co-hosts is one of those people cosplaying one of those anime characters that you've never actually heard of.
That's right. That was pretty much true most of the week.
Yes.
So there you go. So then Friday was up relatively early. Friday was the day that I did the Yato from Noragami cosplay, I believe. I'm trying to get my days straight. Yes, that is correct. See, this is what Dragon Con does to you. Plus, it was the beginning of 10 days straight of travel for me. So yeah, it was pretty crazy. That one was pretty easy to do, which was nice. It was a quick thing. I managed to get out to go and see a panel at on Grimm, with Gary and with Brad from Pod Culture.
Mm-hmm.
It was only the guy who plays Sergeant Wu, but it was still a pretty good panel. It was a nice way to just kind of ease into the actual programming portion of the weekend. And then from there, we all had different panels that we had to do. So I was pretty much prepping for the one that I had to do on Arrow. Which was a pretty interesting panel because, for the most part, everyone on the panel was trying their damnedest not to bash the last season of Arrow.
We're not.
And, I mean, we even had Kevin Batchelder on our panel, and he is usually trying to be the, you know, positive fan.
Yes, definitely.
For anything, and he was struggling to try and keep it positive, and it just didn't work. It was basically just a panel of all of us talking about things that really didn't work very well last year,
mm-hmm.
and the ways that we think that the show can improve. But
yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, well,
I had a couple people that I knew, including Kevin, on there. So, and this was the third year in a row that I was on the fan panel for Arrow, which is always a nice little thing to have that level of continuity, I guess you could say, from year to year.
Yeah, well, I think certainly, while I'm sure they would never admit it publicly or not too much, the fact that the writer's room essentially completely broke up the entire team and seemed to rip up the script for everything at the end of the season kind of reflected that they think you might have a point.
Yeah, it's possible. Just possible. All right, so then Friday after that, you know, we did our usual wandering about and meeting up with people. I went off to an event on my own, which was the annual Cosplay Deviants party, which was a lot of fun. And then shortly thereafter, I was able to meet up with them, with Gary, Brad, Bobby, and Rob at their room in the Hyatt, which was pretty nice. I believe that for those who are familiar with Travis Donovan from Under Sedation Live, which ended last year, I believe it was the room or a very similar room to what he's had in the past. So it's a bit of a, it's not really a big suite or anything like that, but it was a nice sized room. We were able to hang out. So that was good. Nice Friday. I guess the biggest thing for me on that day that really surprised me, because like I said, I was kind of on my own for a bit as people were either, at panels or doing panels, is that I was hanging out in the Hyatt in my Yato cosplay. Now, one of the things with that particular character, if people are at all familiar, you probably already know this, but for those who are not, he's kind of a god in the pantheon that is down on his luck. He's looking for followers. He can't seem to get people to stick around for very long. And it's usually played a little bit comedically, but what he does is he looks for odd jobs in order to kind of get his name out there. And so he advertises by spraying graffiti everywhere saying what his name is, how to contact him. And he charges exactly 5 yen for any job that he does. So I made a sign with the actual, you know, graffiti. I very carefully did the Japanese scrawl and then, you know, the number exactly the way that it is in the anime. And then underneath I put 5 yen because I figured people would get the joke. There were quite a few people who got the joke. They all kind of recognized the character, especially over in the Hyatt. That's kind of the best place for anybody who does anime cosplay at Dragon Con to hang out because
yes.
All of the anime stuff is downstairs.
Exactly, yep.
So you get the people coming and going either to a panel or an event or back if you hang out at the bar in the Hyatt. So as I'm standing there, people want to take my picture, which is fine. That's exactly what they should do. And at one point, this girl comes up, takes my picture, and then hands me a gold dollar coin. And I was like, okay. And she's like, oh, because Yato needs 5 yen. I was like, all right. You don't need to really do it. No. Keep it. I want to say that I gave Yato 5 yen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine. I thought that was really kind of odd. But then literally 5 minutes later, some other guy comes up to me and just like hands me money and says, here you go, Yato. Can I get a picture with you? It happened at least 3 or 4 times in the space of an hour and a half. And I'm just sitting there laughing because, yeah, that's kind of unexpected. But it was probably one of the, you know, more memorable points of Dragon Con for me because I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. So people paid me to take their picture with me.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, in general, I mean, that's one thing I noticed. I mean, a little bit in person, but also in just in terms of some of the comments and on photos that were posted, you know, to the DragonCon Facebook feeds and things. But people talking about you know, how, I mean, both cosplayers and the people who'd run into various cosplayers, how much fun it was to play along with the characters and you know, and do and actually be doing some play acting in addition to, you know, just appearing in the costume. And and even in terms of the interactions between different people cosplaying different things, and you know, and then respond to each other in character. So it is definitely getting beyond just being costumes and into you know, certainly creating the whole atmosphere as well, which especially at Dragon Con, I know for me personally what experience I've had over the years with all of you folks, Dragon Con is the one where you definitely feel the most immersed and the most sort of caught up in with the rest of the geek family, which I feel far more at Dragon Con than I do at the others.
Yeah, it definitely kind of kicks up to that other level. And certainly, as I mentioned from other cons recently, that's kind of some of the fun of cosplay, is kind of getting to play act when people actually are responding to you in that way. The fact that you are in the kind of in that mode, and that's what they want to see. They don't just want they might be cool with seeing some of the spectacle and stuff like that, but they also, like you said, seem to, there are some who at least like to have that interactive type of atmosphere and have the chance to play with somebody who is portraying a character that they enjoy, which obviously I get a kick out of that. I think I've mentioned that before. So yeah, that was most of Friday, which is pretty cool. And then Saturday, I know that Saturday you were still away.
No, I'm still away. Just Sunday, Monday for me this year. We're getting right there.
So Saturday was a bit of a fragmented day. I started off the day, I didn't really have time to get into anything elaborate early on, so I just threw on a Kirk tunic and pants, did very low-key type of Star Trek cosplay, and went to go see the parade for as long as I could before I had to go to the Game of Thrones panel. Which, again, this was the third year in a row that I did the Game of Thrones panel. And that one, boy, the attitude was largely positive. There were a few minor points that people nitpicked. But for the most part, everybody was talking about how much they loved this past season. And one of the things that I've always liked about that particular panel is that it always feels like it's way too short. We could literally be running that panel all day long, and I think people would just sit in there and debate, which is a lot of fun. I mean, when you have people that are that passionate about it. And we had a pretty good crowd given the fact that it was during the parade. It's usually pretty hard to overcome the fact that everybody wants to be outside or that they can't get to the room because of the crowds right after the parade. So there were some people who actually chose to go to our panel instead of go to the parade. So kudos to them. Following that, I managed to get back to change into my Assassin's Creed rogue Shay Cormac cosplay. It takes a little bit longer. But the nice thing about Saturday is that because there had been a storm off the coming through Florida and going up the coast, while we didn't get rain, we got much cooler temperatures.
Yes.
And that meant that it was a lot more comfortable roaming around in the cosplay than it had been the previous year. Last year, trying to walk around in that cosplay, I barely made it over from the Sheridan to the Hilton, literally two blocks, and I thought I was going to die. This time, I was able to wander around for hours without really it bothering me much at all, which was good because I had to go first over to the Westin, which was the first time that I've been in the Westin, for a panel on the 100. Which was actually a really good panel. I thought that it was going to be dominated by talk about Lexa.
Mm-hmm.
I was pleasantly surprised that pretty much it skirted a lot of that controversy, which was not to say that it was without controversy, because a lot of the discussion was about the questionable consent topics that came up this past season, as many longtime listeners here on the show probably are well familiar with. That, you know, there was a lot of torture, there were a lot of people being forced into making decisions and so forth, kind of giving up their free will, and that was a big topic throughout the hour. But it was a small but passionate bunch in that particular panel, which I really enjoyed. And then I went to the Assassin's Creed photo shoot, which is an annual tradition. It was a lot of fun. I was the only Shay this year, which was pretty cool. A little bit smaller crowd this year than the previous year, which I'm not exactly sure why that is, but I think it may have something to do with the fact that there's no new game this year. Mm-hmm. So people were kind of, it was the diehards, so to speak.
Yeah, I was thinking that might have something to do with it. And of course, the movie hasn't hit yet, so you don't have that extra bump.
Right, exactly. So that being the case, you know, it was a nice little reunion for those of us who do Assassin's Creed cosplay. Got to talk with people one-on-one a lot more. From there, I basically did eventually get tired of wearing all those layers. It did get a little bit warmer, especially trying to roam some of the hotels as the party's atmosphere started to ramp up again. So when the crowds got a little tighter and it was a little bit hotter in the habit trails, I needed to get into something a little bit more comfortable. So I went back to the room, threw on Karu again for Saturday night, and went and joined up with Gary, Bobby, and Brad for the recording session that I mentioned earlier for the super show, so to speak, that they put out on Sunday. So yeah, that was kind of cool. They were all kind of shocked that it was my third cosplay of the day. I said, please, you've seen nothing. Just talk to Adam and those guys over at Anime Jam Session about how they do things at cons. They're in and out of stuff all the time. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Once again, people recognized who I was, and there were a few people that were extremely vocal about that, which was a lot of fun.
But how much money did you make that night is the more important question.
That night I didn't make as much as I did.
Oh, okay. Sadly. Well, more competition, but yeah.
That's it. Lots more competition. But that was a pretty cool time. And that then led into Sunday. Now Sunday, I'll just kind of go through mine and then you can jump in with what you did.
Sure.
Sunday, I basically, one of the things that I wanted to do the whole weekend, and I'm glad I did Sunday, because if I had waited till Monday, I would have been extremely disappointed. Sunday, I wanted to go and get both an autograph and a video message done from James Marsters to a really good friend of mine who loves Spike from Buffy, and I figured that this would be like the banner thing if I could do that. So I was able to pull it off. I got there just as he was like 10 minutes away from arriving at his table, so I was third in line before everybody else jumped in.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there quickly. I'd already taken some time that morning to kind of gear up as Levi from Attack on Titan. So I was able to wander around a little bit, go and get that done. Got it done pretty fast, and then was able to kind of circle back around. Dropped some stuff off, went back out for a bit. Now, Sunday, unfortunately, was a lot hotter and a lot more humid than Saturday was. So unfortunately, I really couldn't hang in that cosplay for the entire day. I was kind of hoping to, and it just didn't work out. But I did essentially then for the afternoon. I'm jumping ahead, aren't I? No. For the afternoon, before I went to my next panel that I had, I changed into Shinji Ikari from Evangelion. So I got to walk around a little bit before I went back over to the West End and did a panel on sci-fi shows. And the cool thing about the panel for sci-fi was that it was supposed to be about basically a little bit about every little show that they do, but then it turned into more of a discussion on how networks like sci-fi work, why they can only run for so many seasons, why they have budget issues, so on and so forth. And it was pretty informative for a lot of the people in the audience, I think. They seemed to get a lot out of it. We talked up 12 Monkeys big time.
Good.
Which was good. I was a little surprised at how many people focused on Z Nation, but it was the Apocalypse Rising track. So
yes. Okay.
That surprised, but it was a pretty good panel. And from there, I was able to very shortly thereafter meet up with everybody over at the Parsecs. which is when I met up with Edmund, Brad, and Gary, and Brian from British Invaders. And that means that I can let you talk for a little while and tell us about what you did before you met up with us for for dinner that night.
Yeah, well, I came down, as I've been doing in recent years, just for the weekend. Confirmed once again, although it's no surprise for anybody who sees how much stuff is scheduled for Atlanta on Labor Day weekend, that, yes, driving into Atlanta early on Sunday morning is a lot less crowded than driving in early on Saturday morning, where there tend to be, college football games, gay pride parades, Dragon Con itself, of course, and Saturday is the highest attended day. Getting to drive in on Sunday was a nice easy ride in. Bunking with Gary, so I did met up with him first, and headed over when I looked at the schedule and knew I was only going to be coming down in the later days. Turned out one of the main draws for me was the comic book artist and writer Mike Grell, perhaps most famous for his work in the 80s, kind of reviving Green Arrow, his miniseries The Longbow Hunters, rebooted and reintroduced Oliver Queen in a somewhat more realistic, more adult vein. In fact, I think you could argue that some of what they've done over on Arrow is certainly not a direct reproduction of the work Grell was doing, I think he was kind of setting the stage for stuff in that grittier, more realistic yes, I will actually kill people vein. He also did a series called John Sable Freelance, which was kind of the flip side of James Bond, where it was a guy who was just a complete out and out mercenary. He naturally did have his own moral codes and things. He wasn't a completely amoral punisher type hero, but certainly in terms of lots of covert missions and gun action, modern derring do and swashbuckling. A very fun character, and a side of that mid '80s turn towards more mature subject matter. Perhaps not as well known as some of the things, certainly like Watchmen or Dark Knight, but he was certainly all part of that continuum. One thing I noticed immediately, reason why I have been not necessarily coming down to Dragon Con for the full run, was I had been finding as the crowds ramped up and they started getting to 50, 60, and now they're estimating 70%, 70,000 plus, that I was just finding it less enjoyable, and just being packed in and having trouble getting, having to plan ahead to get into panels. This year, they expanded into two new buildings, the America's Mart, which is a sort of convention center buildings close to the host hotels, they put the Dealer's Marts, which had already been moved over there, but also the gaming track, and most of the comic stuff over there, that little bit of extra spreading out just really seemed to have helped in terms of the amount of crowding you're feeling. Admittedly, I wasn't there on Saturday for the biggest day, but things were just feeling just better organized in terms of the way they were moving the crowds around, so it was really a much much more pleasant experience, or certainly the most pleasant experience I've had in the last few years. And the Mike Grell panel itself was a lot of fun to see him. But what was perhaps the highlight, speaking of cosplay, was one Green Arrow did show up, and somebody was dressed sort of in that Oliver Queen Longbow Hunter style. Did actually come in a little bit late, so Mike Grell saw him, and said, "Oh, come on in, come on in, come on down." But so it really kind of felt like. Oliver was just crashing the panel, and was able to get some pictures of him, Ollie with his creator, which you could tell Mike Grell was quite chuffed by. That's been the interesting thing for me is over the years of doing this, how much more I focus now on seeing my friends, seeing you and Gary and Brad and the other folks over at Vogue. Brian Doob from British Invaders, who of course is up in Canada, so don't have too many opportunities to see him. Seeing some of these lesser known writers or artists and people who aren't necessarily the big draws, but this may be one of Mike Grell's case. I mean, he is 69 and very fit, who knows how many more opportunities I would have to meet him and get him to sign some of my books. So that was a lot of fun. I'm just trying to remember now, since of course I've already deleted my app, which I shouldn't have done, so I could refer to it. I did make it a natural. I was sort of shooting towards meeting you guys all at the Parsecs. That did become sort of the intersection point. Now I'm remembering. I was staying over in that comic book track because some of the Marvel writers and artists from the 80s, notably Peter David and Larry Hama from G.I. Joe, were doing a panel, sort of giving their memories of life at Marvel in the 80s, which they were promoting it as some more salacious behind the scenes stuff, which it started out a little more quite a bit more tame than that, with all these guys saying, well, no, you know, I had a great time working for Marvel in the 80s, which of course most of them did, because they were all some of their more successful people. In the end, nothing necessarily scandalous came out, but it was still fun hearing them relate to how things were happening back in that era when things were making some shifts into as I mentioned with Grell's work, some of the more realistic themes, and of course the whole sort of push towards more outrageous stuff that led to some of the creator-owned labels and books as people tried to push against what was happening at the big houses.
Very cool. Very interesting. Certainly, I remember some of those people on your list from when I started reading. Larry Hama, of course, being a pretty well-known person for the G.I. Joe comics out of Marvel at the time.
Absolutely.
As you said. So, yeah. So yeah, as you said, the Parsecs were kind of our confluence point for just about everybody. Unfortunately, we weren't able to have dinner with Gary, but we were able to have a little bit of a group dinner, which was cool. I know that you then went on to go see some of the stuff in the Brit track afterwards.
Again, I wanted to mention this whole thing. I wound up having this my Sunday panels be. Some of these, certainly lesser known writers and artists, certainly not the people who are getting the huge ballrooms in the Marriott or the Hyatt. But also it was my chance to finally get to some of these fan panels. And it was the Orphan Black panel that I made it to. As you were saying with the Game of Thrones, this was another of those panels where that hour just fled by. Certainly everyone in that room, the way we were discussing things back and forth was focused primarily on the most recent season, but you could also tell from people's attitudes that they were very pleased with the sort of bounce back that the series went through this season and focusing back in on Clone Club. We also had the front row of that panel had I think just about every iteration of Tatiana Maslany, except Crystal. I think we didn't have a Crystal, but we had pretty much all of the other clones represented, which was fun to see, and also just a reminder of just what an extraordinary job she does, that yes, there are all these distinct characters up here. It takes this many people to cosplay Tatiana Maslany.
Yes, exactly. You can't. It's not done unless you have all of them.
Yes. That, you know, that is another aspect of Dragon Con where, it's not that other cons don't have these fan panels, but just in terms of how many of them that they are able to run, and the intensity of the discussions that happen in there, this isn't the sort of live version equivalent of, Flame Wars on website comment threads or anything like that. It's, you know, it's people who are really into this stuff, and you may have some disagreements in terms of exactly which direction you want to see them go or who your favorite is, but we were all just having a great time getting a chance to hash it all out in ways a lot of us don't necessarily have a chance to do in our everyday mundane lives.
Yeah, you mentioned fan panels and the fact that they have a tendency to be a little bit more intense with Dragon Con. I was trying to explain that to somebody at one point because I was kind of back and forth with them, and they were saying, you know, you're on all these panels, and how does that work? Like, why are you on panels? And I was trying to say, it's a fan panel. And they're like, I can see people behind the scenes for the show coming out and kind of explaining things, but, you know, why do fans want to see other fans talk about a show? And yeah, you've got to be, I guess it is kind of difficult to explain, but it is a matter of sometimes, or many times, it's folks like us who are on podcasts or otherwise in media that we're maybe not uber fans per se, but we are at least one step closer to the production in some respects. Like I said, the sci-fi one, many of us, because we have been around media enough, we're able to speak to some things that the more casual fan just, they have no reason to have that information or to know that information. What they know is that their show got canceled. And that, you know, many times they blame the network, and sometimes that's not always the reason why, as we've talked about many times. I find that even some of our co-hosts on our network don't know that kind of stuff because they're not deep into it. So it's just interesting to see how what kind of people you get on these panels, and sometimes it is just a huge Uber fan. We had that on another one of the panels I was on this weekend that I'll get into in a second, where it was just somebody who is known for being a really dedicated fan. At this point, Jen, one of the people that we hang out with, who used to be on a podcast back during the Farpoint Media days, and we know, I've known for many years, she's not really on anything anymore, but she's got the credentials from, you know, past activities that, you know, she doesn't need to be on something right now. She's done this before. So sometimes it is just the people that you know. The fact of the matter is that our little family, even the Vogue family, many of us come from being at least in some way, shape, or form associated with Farpoint Media. Mm-hmm. Farpoint was instrumental in the creation of the Parsecs. They were also fairly instrumental in forging a lot of relationships with other podcasters during the time when that was, you know, that's when the big push for fan panels, I guess, really started for some of these shows. So it's just happened, you know, in some cases, it's who you know. Many people who probably could be on these fan panels, they just simply don't know where to look in order to sign up.
Yeah, and actually, one thing that just occurred to me is, and we'll be getting into you know, some of the panel you were on for Walking Dead, it's interesting to me how the different settings in the different hotels kind of lend to different things. That Brit Track, which is in the smaller meeting rooms in the Sheraton, I've noticed, and it may be a function. I mean, maybe partially a function of you know, the fact that it is the, you know, perhaps the some of the more obscure British shows that are being discussed. But those are smaller rooms, and those panels are the ones that said that seem to be most likely to I was going to say devolve, but it's not necessarily So, you know, it's definitely more of an evolution, not a devolution. But turn into discussions between everybody in the room, where it's, you know, the other panelists may have sort of helped initiate the discussion, you know, but then it's, you know, they'll often need to be some sort of structure in terms of people sort of, you know, going in turn. But it's definitely the, you know, it's not just the audience members interacting with the panel, but interacting with each other and, you know, and getting into a whole group discussion, which doesn't necessarily happen as much with some of the larger meeting rooms. But I think in all of these panels, there is always that give and take between the panelists and the audience. And just because you're not sitting on up there on the panel, you know, it is that you definitely are encouraged to contribute.
Yes, exactly. A lot of these are very interactive panels, and very, very, very often part of the fun is just getting people to feel comfortable to express their opinion, I guess you could say. They may not want to sit up on a panel, but they may want to just dive in once the discussion starts, and you do get some pretty passionate people in the room.
Yeah.
So let's see. What was the rest of my Sunday? The rest of my Sunday was basically walking around and looking at the crowds, because, you know, Saturday night was definitely once Friday night hit, it was like every night after that was like a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was three in a row. So I will say by Sunday night, I was really kind of at that point a little bit done with the huge crowds.
Yes.
I took pictures every so often and showed them to people, and they still can't believe that, you know, it's that crowded. But yeah, the Marriott area especially.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do for spreading things out, and I think you mentioned you were in the America's Mart areas and in the Sheraton and over where I was at in the West, and these are all a little bit removed from the central part of the con. So it's a lot easier to come and go.
Yeah.
The whole Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt,
yes,
trio.
Which is the primary access, you know, or access, I mean.
Yes, exactly. Those are the three that are interconnected. You don't have to go outside if you stay in those three.
Yes.
Unless you really want to get somewhere quickly. But yeah, those three were pretty packed. And we found that was, I think in previous years, we could go up to the bar in the Marriott and pretty much get what we wanted in a timely fashion. This year we went to the Marriott and we got lucky. The rest of the time we couldn't have gotten to the bar if we tried. We basically stuck with the Hyatt instead. And even then you had to pretty much push it. So yeah, it was pretty crowded, but that was Gary's last moments at the con, so I was out with him for a bit. Once he decided that he was pretty much done, I was kind of thinking of wandering over to programming at the Sheraton, but I wound up just going over to my room, which I didn't realize you guys were still there.
And actually that brings up the other point where, I mean, as I mentioned, the Orphan Black panel could have, you know, officially gone far beyond the hour, and actually Brian and actually a couple of his Canadian compatriots and me were basically discussing Orphan Black and moving on to other things for well over an hour after that panel let out. So and, you know, when I'd had a thought of meeting up with you and Gary again, but that's the way things go. You just get into discussions, and there's no real reason to stop until you want to. So.
Exactly. That's DragonCon for you. Okay, and then Monday. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't need to go into a lot of detail, but this was the first time I've been at Dragon Con where I did actually wind up not just going to the Crux Shadows Darkwave concert in the Hyatt, but I actually wound up at the Marriott Rave as well. So this was my first real official Dragon Con all-nighter.
Very good. Very nice. I pulled that off last year. I really wasn't capable of it this year, unfortunately.
But which meant, as I mentioned, you know, me and Gary were sort of bunking together, but not really, since basically I got back to the room as he unfortunately had to make an early exit on Monday, so he was just getting ready to go to the airport. But we did get a chance to say our farewells before he headed off.
Yep. Let's see. Monday, I elected, that was the one day that I chose not to go off in cosplay, which probably surprised the hell out of everybody. In fact, I remember later in the day people being like, whoa, this is what you look like when you're not wearing, you know, strange colored hair. But at any rate, did I get into – anyway, I'm trying to get my bearings here. I spent a good amount of time on Monday over at the dealer's room.
Yep.
I really didn't get a whole lot, but I did spend enough time that I could see everything because I really just wanted to get a sense of everything. I did see some of those areas that they expanded into, and I'm pretty sure they're going to wind up just taking the entire America's Mart next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to kind of keep things spread out, because I think that worked a lot better in the long run. Even though it did annoy some people to have to try and get from A to B to, you know, and it was a long distance, it really, they need to continue to expand.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I spent a lot of time over in the dealer's room. Kind of took my time that morning for various reasons. And then I had the panel on The Walking Dead.
Yes.
With Jen. And that was a good way to close out the con. It was a good, fun panel. I think everybody wanted it to last as long as possible because it was the last dregs of their con too. But we had a really nice crowd, a lot of interactivity. It was just a good, fun way to wrap things up.
Yeah. A couple of things for Monday. I just wanted to point out, the actual 50th anniversary of Star Trek was rapidly approaching as we were at Dragon Con, but there was the whole thing of William Shatner was sort of jetting across the country to various of the Star Trek celebrations. Did make it to Dragon Con for an appearance Monday morning. And since I did not feel like getting up as I said, I just came in at 5 a.m., so I did not feel like trying to make it to actually stand in line for 2 hours to see him live, because I also knew that there is that wonderful little invention called DragonCon TV, which if you're staying, well, it used to be just if you were staying in one of the host hotels, but they now have actually released it as a streaming service app for those who are not lucky enough to be in one of the hotels. But as I strongly suspected, as 10 a.m. rolled around, DragonCon TV was showing Mr. Shatner's panel, so I did get to see his appearance, which was a lot of fun, it is sort of one of the little options that DragonCon offers that not a lot of other places do, even if you are just have to get back to the room for changing purposes or just to chill out. You can always turn that on, and they may not be showing panels, but there is the fun, amusing DragonCon TV filler skits and things to just help keep you in the mood, even when you're not actually out and about and among your fellow con goers. The other thing that I managed to get to do on the I'm actually just trying to remember now which day it was. It doesn't really matter. But there is also live music, live music track at Dragon Con, and I was very pleased to see that one of my favorite funky bands from Greenville here, Wasted Wine, who a friend of mine once very, very accurately described as Tom Waits meets Kurt Vile, who composed the Thrippany Opera, after years of trying, finally managed to land a place in that live music track, so it was a lot of fun to get to see that was actually on Sunday, I believe, but getting to see the last of their scheduled gigs on a different floor of the America's Mart.
Hey, there you go. I didn't even get over to where the live music was, so that just tells you how much of an expansive con this is. There's just so much that I didn't even get to see. But it was nice to close everything out. I was there until Tuesday morning in Atlanta, so I actually got to see what happens when you are there for the end of the con.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting. The panel went into about 3:30. The con officially had its end panel between 4 and 5.
Right.
So there were a few tracks that ended at 5 o'clock. I didn't go to anything after the panel. I pretty much just wanted to go and start packing up. And right around 5:36, I guess, I went back out because I just wanted to see what would happen. I haven't posted those pictures yet because, quite frankly, they're sad. But it's amazing how quickly the con just disappears. And you by 6 o'clock, the entire weekend, the Peachtree food court was essentially open late. By 6 o'clock on Monday, the place was shutting down.
Right, right.
There was nothing open because I went looking for food, and guess what? There was none. I was kind of surprised, as were a few other people, stragglers like me.
Yes.
I walked around the hotels for about an hour, and even in the space of doing one circuit between the three main hotels and back, it was just a huge difference.
Yeah.
I would say by no later than 8 o'clock, if you hadn't known that a big convention had taken place, you would have seen almost no signs of it. Everything Dragon Con related was essentially gone. So you figure that's got to happen because they've got to get prepped for whatever is coming next. But it was still shocking. I took pictures in some of the ballrooms where there would have been thousands of people and nothing. Just gone.
Just empty, yeah.
Yeah. It definitely contributed to a little bit of that post-con depression, that's for sure.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it was still, as a kind of documentation point of view of just here's the end of it, just a punctuation of to say, okay, I was here for the absolute end. That was kind of interesting. But there were still those diehards, even at 8 o'clock on Monday, walking around in costume.
Yes.
They weren't done yet.
Yeah, yeah, no,
done,
yeah.
So stop cosplaying.
Yeah, yeah, I do believe I did see a couple of postings on Tuesday morning of the last few cosplayers still, beating their way against the dying of that light.
Exactly. That's exactly the way that it seems. I didn't see any of those people on Tuesday. I didn't even try to go into the hotels and go back and forth. I also had to rent a car and drive to Charleston.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Which was a completely different mental shift.
Oh, of course.
Because, yeah, talk about, okay, I was there to close out the convention and, you know, there were other things going on. And then the next thing I know, I'm 24 hours later at a work function and I'm surrounded by all these people and I'm just like, this is not the crowd I was around a day ago.
Yes.
At all. Very different crowd. But that was Dragon Con. I mean, there's probably a million things that I'm leaving out.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that I was gratified that every single cosplay that I took, people recognized, at least someone recognized it. Oddly enough, the one that they had the hardest time recognizing was Levi. But I guess they weren't looking, expecting to look up.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
My joke was for one person that they injected me with Titan serum, and this is what happened.
That was the best thing. That's the best
that got out of it. That's yes. Right. I was normal size.
Yes. No. Gary's not here, so I'm glad you got the height reference in.
There you go. Unfortunately, nobody got to see it because, again, that was the one day where I just couldn't stick around with all those layers.
Yeah.
And I wasn't too happy with the way that the harness was fitting, so I have to make some adjustments there. But overall, that was the one day that might have been the cosplay I was disappointed in. But it was more of a factor of way too hot of a day, and it being Sunday. I mean, there's something to be said that by the time you get to Sunday and you're kind of worn out, your ability to or your willingness to punish yourself that much goes down tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. It does bear repeating that the weird weather pattern this year. I mean, having that tropical storm just sweep out all of the heat and humidity for Friday and Saturday, and then it was clamping back down on Sunday and Monday. So it wasn't just the accumulated days. The southern weather was reasserting itself.
It definitely was. All right, well, I think what we're going to do is go ahead and bring this particular episode of the show to a close. That's our wrap-up of Dragon Con. We might have some further comments next week from Gary if we happen to get him on board. But otherwise, another successful Dragon Con survived.
Indeed.
So next time, we will be getting into the genre news from the past couple weeks. So until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as fair use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the critical myth.